So today we're continuing our series of messages that we've been in for just the last couple of weeks. This is the third Sunday. It's going to take us all the way through summer, through Labor Day weekend. It's a series that I hope and pray will help us to live less in tune with the trappings of the world and ourselves and stay more focused on God and in tune with Him. Because life is short. Right? And it goes by quickly, so let's use the time well that God has given us. Today we're talking about how life is too short to worry. Life is too short to worry. How many of you ever worried about something? Man, some of you are not raising your hands, and now I'm worried for you. That's just, that's bizarre. It's okay. You're just not courageous enough to raise your hand. That's okay. That's all right. So the problem with worrying, and there's probably multiple problems, but the one that kind of hit me this week, the problem with worrying is that worrying steals the joy from life today because it causes us to focus on the future rather than the present. Right? It totally steals, like, just being in the moment. Joy, it could be other stuff as well. Whatever it is in the moment, I think joy especially, and causes us to focus on the future rather than the present. It makes it hard to live in the moment, to think clearly, to be present in relationships, you know, in conversation with others. It keeps us keeps us even from sleeping well, right? Worrying can keep us up at night. In fact, that might be some of people's biggest complaints about worrying, is that it interferes with our sleep. There was a lady I heard about, and I think I shared this story like 10 years ago, I'm not totally sure, but there was a lady I heard about who thought for years and years, almost every night, she thought that she heard a burglar downstairs in her kitchen. At least once a week, she would make her husband get up out of bed and go downstairs and check and make sure that everything was okay. Well, one night she thought she heard a noise. She woke her husband up and she said, "Honey, I'm sure I just heard someone downstairs in the kitchen." So he got up, just as he had routinely so many times before, went downstairs, and this time when he turned the corner into the kitchen, he found himself staring down the barrel of a gun. The burglar said, "Don't make a sound, just give me all your valuables." Well, the guy gathered up the valuables as quickly as he could and as many of them as he could and gave them to the burglar. The burglar turned, started to run out the kitchen, go out the back door to escape out the back. And the guy said, wait just a minute before you go. You can't leave just yet. You have to come up and meet my wife. She's been expecting you for 30 years. There are so many things in life that cause us to worry, sometimes for decades. Right? It can be our health. Maybe it's our own health or somebody else's, a loved one. Finances. That's a source of a lot of worry for a lot of people. Whether you have a little bit of money or a lot, people get worried about their finances. Work-related issues. Kids. Grandkids. You know, the choices that that next generation is making. The people they're hanging out with. Housing issues. That's oftentimes tied to money, perhaps, the finances. Housing can be a challenge and cause worry. Relationships. The Mariners' offense, oh my goodness, it's just a disaster. The list goes on and on. If we were to go around the room, and I, you know, hopefully you did take a moment with the person next to you this morning and shared something that we have worried about. If we did that, went around the entire room and just did that amongst all of us, we'd come up with a laundry list of things that we have all worried about. And probably a lot of us have had a lot of the same things as well as those around us. Well, Jesus had some things to say about our tendencies to worry. And the good news is that he's got a solution. He's got a solution to our worrying. So let's read Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34 this morning. This is a teaching that parallels a passage in Matthew, I don't remember the exact chapter and verse, it's in the sixth or seventh chapter, from what's known as the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew. In Luke, we get some similar teaching. Jesus undoubtedly taught a lot of these things multiple times. In fact, that's the way Matthew puts it. He introduces it, says that this is what Jesus used to teach in kind of an ongoing way. So this is part of that message. This is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34 this morning. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, Heavenly Father, today, speak to us through these verses, through this teaching that Jesus gives. May it be relevant and impactful for us today, nearly 2,000 years after he taught it. So, God, teach us today through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there are a couple of verses in this passage that I think are particularly key. And it's a pretty straightforward passage, really. But there are a couple of verses that I think are key ones, and we'll talk about those and then some related verses in Scripture that relate to this challenge of worrying. The first verse I want to highlight is verse 25. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? The answer to this rather rhetorical question, of course, is no one. No one can add a single hour to their life by worrying. When was the last time you heard a doctor say to you, "Hey, if you want to live longer, start worrying more"? Right? No doctor ever said such a thing, because it probably, we believe, actually has the opposite effect, in fact. Jesus' question highlights how worrying really is not useful or helpful or productive. For instance, did you know that 92% of what people worry about never comes to fruition? 92%. Some research shows that as much as 30%, this statistic just blows my mind. As much as 30% of what people worry about has happened in the past. It's already happened, and we're worrying about it. 96% of what people worry about are things that we can do nothing about, which means only about 4% of what you and I tend to worry about is stuff that we have any measure of control or influence. Interestingly, it is often the small things or the everyday things in life that cause the most worry. And that's not 100% true, of course, but that's oftentimes the things that we tend to worry about, like the everyday kinds of things. In fact, there's a Swedish proverb. Did you know that there are such things as Swedish proverbs? I did not. I thought they were all either like biblical proverbs from the Book of Proverbs or ancient Chinese proverbs. I suppose they're in every culture. I don't know. But there's Swedish proverbs, and there's one that says this: worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. That's why Jesus, in his teaching on worry, highlights these common everyday things as items not to worry about. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about, you know, your body and what you wear. Don't worry about what you drink. These are the everyday things that we tend to worry about. Just this morning, I got to experience this. Literally, 40 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago, as the service was starting, I looked down at my feet and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing the wrong shoes. I rode my scooter to church, I do every Sunday, and the shoes that are in my backpack that I was supposed to put on aren't good for scootering in because I've got like leather hard soles on them. And I'm like, I'm not scootering in those. I put those in, and I threw on these ratty things to scooter to church in, and I forgot to change and I started freaking out about it. I'm like, okay, Brian, do not worry. Don't worry about what you wear. It's okay. It's okay. Seriously, these things need to go to the garbage bin and get replaced. They are not. I can't believe I'm in church in them. So don't worry about what you wear. I did not plan that sermon illustration. I kid you not. My shoes are in the backpack. I'll show them to you after service. They're supposed to be on my feet. It's these day-to-day things that can cause us such anxiety because they're always in front of us, right? These are the things that are always before us. They're a constant part of our lives. And because we do have some measure of control over them, I think sometimes that maybe even kind of increases our worry about some of these things. He doesn't pick on like what we might call like big things, and there's probably a range of this. Like some things are really huge and we just know that they're way out of our control. Like, don't worry about world peace. I mean, there's things we can do on a daily basis, but there's a certain degree that's a lot of that is out of our control. Don't worry about whether the sun will come up tomorrow. It's like, okay, yeah, there's nothing I can do about that one. I think he doesn't mention some of these really large things because for many of us, we do recognize that they are out of our control, and we just kind of give it over to God. We let them go. For instance, someday, if you don't know this, I'm sorry to break this bad news to you, but someday the sun will stop shining. It is a star, and stars have a lifespan, and it will burn out. And if that causes you great stress and worry, I'm sorry, but I want to encourage you, don't worry about it. Estimates are anywhere between 5 billion and 8 billion years before it happens, so you're okay. Okay? We tend not to worry about these kinds of things. They're so obviously beyond our control and in God's hands, we just let them go. And I think Jesus recognizes that for many of us, it's the everyday things that cause us to worry. What we wear, what we eat, you know, the relationship in our lives, how people perceive us, how we're interacting with people, how we're going to pay the bills, right? He talks about money in here. That's a big source of worry for a lot of people. And we can certainly add on to what he lists here with other stuff, like the relationships I just mentioned in our families or at school or at work. A car that maybe is on its last legs, maybe that's tied to the finance issues. There are certainly others as well, but these are the kinds of things that we tend to worry about. So Jesus is letting us know that even those everyday things we do not need to worry about because God will provide. That's where he lands with all this, that God will provide. God is trustworthy. Our Heavenly Father loves us enough to provide us with the things that we need in life. Sometimes how he provides is through our own efforts, right? He highlights the birds, you know, they've got to get their own food. God provides for them, but they got to do the work to get it. And he's given us gifts and talents and the intelligence that we have, the ability to use those things to take care of our needs. But God is still the foundation. He's the author of all of that. He provides the abilities. He gives us the lives that we live. He has filled the earth with all the necessary stuff that we need in order to flourish as we trust in him. And so what it comes down to is this: do you and I trust God? Do we believe that God is good, as we just sang about in one of our songs, and that he provides for us? Do we trust him? And I would suggest to you that trusting is much better than worrying. Why worry when you can trust? Worry is kind of like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You just go back and forth, and that's fine or whatever, but you don't go anywhere. Trust, now some people think trust leads to maybe laziness, but it's just the opposite. Trust leads you to take steps forward in life. Trust leads you to put one step and one foot in front of the other and move down that path that God is leading you down. So Jesus tells us to trust him. He says that if God will take care of the lilies of the field and clothe them and take care of the birds of the air, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So what is our faith level in God? Do you and I believe that God desires with all his heart to take care of us? And so then trust then leads us to step out and do whatever it is that maybe needs to be done in life to ease those worries, to ease the concerns that we have. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants each and every person here this morning to trust in him and to know in the very depths of our hearts, to know that God cares about you, loves you, is working in your life, whether you acknowledge it and recognize it or not. And he wants you to live with him as the foundation for your life, to trust him. The biblical book of Proverbs, you talked about a Swedish proverb a moment ago. The biblical book of Proverbs is a couple of verses that probably many of us are familiar with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of it, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your path straight. God wants to take our worries and our fears away so that we can simply enjoy the blessings that he gives us and enjoy his presence that is with us today, right here, right now, and live according to his plan for our lives. So live going down that path that he's leading us down, that straight path. If you were to go a little further into the New Testament beyond the gospel according to Luke and get into some of Paul's letters, you would encounter a letter that he wrote to one of the churches that he started called Philippians. And he writes this. He says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," which is like requests, "and thanksgiving, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And what we need to know and remember and understand, if you aren't aware of this already, is that Paul was not sitting on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean basking, you know, in the sun on vacation when he wrote this. He was in prison because of his faith. He's in a hard place. This is not an easy place in life for him. If anyone had something to worry about and fret about, it was him. But he had come to a place of trust in God through all the ups and the downs of life. And even while in prison, he can encourage and believers like you and me not to worry about anything and instead to trust in God. And when we turn over to him those things that we worry about, the peace of God will come into our lives. And that peace, he says, and it's all through Jesus Christ, that peace will guard your heart and your minds. Those are the places where worry takes root, isn't it? Like it oftentimes starts in our mind. We think about something, we start ruminating on it, obsessing over it, and then it gets the heart going, the blood pressure rises a little bit, the heartbeat beats faster, and then our mind gets going even more on it, and the heart gets going even more, and then maybe the emotions come into play. I mean, worrying is like this total body experience. But when the peace of God comes into us, because we've given over to him the things that we can't control, then our hearts and our minds are filled with his peace. And we can step forward in trust and walk down that path, addressing the things that are within our control. And we can then concern ourselves with what Jesus says to focus on, the kingdom of God. And this gets us to the second verse that I think is a key verse in this passage. So the first one raises the issue of worry. Why worry? It doesn't do you any good. And the second one is verse 31, where he says, "But strive," or instead of worrying, "strive for the kingdom." Strive for the Heavenly Father's kingdom. "And these things will be given to you as well." Strive for God. Seek after God. Be in relationship with him. Seek him out in all things. Be in step with him. Use the gifts that he's given you, the time that he's given you. Walk down that straight path that Proverbs 3:6 speaks of, and God will take care of the rest. That is the solution to our worrying, to trust in God. So the worries that you and I have, it's not that God doesn't care about them. It's not that God isn't involved in them, if you ever thought that. In fact, actually, just the opposite is true. That's why Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. It's why Solomon wrote the proverb about trusting the Lord. It's why Paul wrote what he wrote in that Philippians passage. You and I can receive these words and receive God's promise of peace into our lives today, to trust him more. Jesus does care. He cares very much, and he wants to relieve us of the worries of life. And as people who follow Jesus here at Rose Hill, we want to be God's hands and feet in the community, like here within the church community, out in the community beyond our own fellowship here, in the community, in our lives around us, leading people toward Jesus in our different circles of life, where we live, work, and play is kind of how we phrased it. The relationships we have in those places are who God has put in our life to lead towards Jesus so that they also might have this peace that passes all understanding. It's not something just to keep for ourselves, but to share with others and help them live into it as well. And if you're a guest here this morning, we want you to know that peace, especially if you're someone who doesn't know Jesus in your life. I would invite you to trust in him, as these verses speak to. To trust him. We want you to know so that you might not worry and that you might invite, and we invite you to seek Jesus and his kingdom along with us. We need that community together to encourage us in our life of faith. There's a Sunday worship bulletin that put it both really well and also really terribly all at once. It said this: don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Doesn't that make you want to be a Christian and be a part of the church here? Woo! Yeah. Now, obviously, what's actually being encouraged is not that we want to help kill you. That's the totally opposite, of course. What's actually being encouraged is to let other Jesus followers come alongside you and strengthen you and carry you in the midst of your worries. And that's what we are here for, and other churches are as well. Now, it might mean being a little bit vulnerable. Maybe when I asked you to stand and greet one another and share something you worry about, maybe that was a really scary thing to do, and that's okay, but I think it's a safe environment. But sharing that kind of stuff, not just in the conversation right then, but in a small group, Bible study, in a discipleship class on a Sunday morning, in the lobby after worship, wherever it may be, doing that engenders that community, allows us then to be praying for you and come alongside you and share in whatever it is that is causing you worry so that you might not worry anymore and you can do something about these things. So we will pray with you. We will come alongside you. Share in whatever it is that's worrying so that you do life with a little help from your friends who extend the love of Jesus in a tangible way, and that's what we're about. We're all a part of it. It's not just the pastor, it's not just the staff, it's not just the elders or the deacons here at church. It's all of us. We are all the presence of God to each other as we allow God to work, not only in us, but through us. Maybe you've written off God. There might be someone here this morning. Maybe you've written off God, or maybe you thought he had written off you because you felt like your life was unworthy of being loved by God. Think he's off in another corner of the universe playing in another sandbox, or he just didn't care about the worries and stresses of your life. The fact is, first of all, that God cares about you very much, and you can trust him. That is the gist of what Jesus is saying here. He cares about you very much, and you can trust him. More than he cares about the birds of the air, more than the flowers of the field, name anything else that you want, the mountains, the stars, whatever, the rivers, the lakes, all of it. He cares about you more than all of it. He has created you in his image, and he has given you the very breath that you are breathing even right now. What he asks us to be first and foremost concerned about is our relationship with him and our place in his kingdom. Seek first, strive first for him, Jesus tells us. Trust him to guard your heart and your mind with this peace that passes all understanding. So I actually want to leave you this morning with just a super tangible way of putting God's kingdom first this week. You can start doing this even today when you go home. And then if you want to carry it out over the next few weeks, maybe it becomes a habit for you. I don't know. Wherever you take this is up to you, but at least try it for a week and then go from there. I want to, even if you never, by the way, if you never put your faith in Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, try it. Just do this simple little exercise. So I want you to pick a day of the week. I would suggest today, Sunday, because I'm telling this to you today, and if you wait till tomorrow, you'll probably forget. Right? Let's be honest here. Do this today. I want you to take a piece of paper or whatever works for you. Pick a day of the week. First of all, pick a worry day of the week. Call it your worry day. And you're not going to spend the whole day worrying. Don't worry about that. Just for a moment. Make it today. Today's your worry day. And I want you to spend time today and make a list of all the things in life that are worrying you. Whatever it might be. Big or small, it doesn't matter. Now, some of those things on that list, you might look at that and you think, oh, those are something that are within my control. Those are some things I can do something about. And if you have those things, and you can leave them on the list, that's totally fine. But then go do something about them, okay? Walk down that straight path as you trust God, rather than sitting in a rocking chair at the starting point of the path. Sitting in the rocking chair is not going to get you anywhere. You're just going to sit there and keep worrying about it. Go down the path and do something about those things about which you can do. Do your part. You might not be able to do everything. It might be others involved. There might be some trust, whatever. But do what you can and do that. But for the 96% of the worries that are out of your control, or the 90% that aren't likely even to come to fruition, write them down on a sheet of paper and put them in a container. Put them in a jar, a box, a book you don't read, so not your Bible, right? Put it somewhere else. Put it in a nightstand drawer, whatever. Put them there and then ask God to take those worries away from your heart and your mind and to replace them with his peace that passes all understanding. Take that step of trust just right there. Just a short, simple prayer will do. Something like this. God, these things worry about me. Here's the list. So I'm giving them to you. Please take them away from me and fill me with your peace as I trust you with them. In Jesus' name, amen. It's like a 2 or 3 sentence prayer. Anybody can pray it. Then don't open that list for a week. Don't get into that drawer, jar, box, whatever it is, for about a week. Unless you have more things to add to it, you can break it out and look at it. But don't look at the things. Don't start worrying over them again. Cover it up. Add more if you need to at the bottom. Okay, you can keep praying if you want during the week, or if that you think is going to cause you to start worrying more, then just pray it once and let it go. And that's all right. And then next Sunday, and I'm going to give you a reminder next Sunday about this, but you can put one in your phone too. It's really easy. You just put a calendar appointment and call it worry day or something. Okay, no excuses here, but I'll remind you. And just see what has happened. Go back then and look at that list after a week. And see if you didn't let those things go and trust God this week. And maybe God has even taken care of some of them in the week. And if not, he will in his time. He will in his time. Because God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He is faithful and he can handle them and he'll give you peace even just this week. So the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that he is trustworthy in this life and in the life to come. Sometimes I think it's easier to trust him in the life to come because we realize that death, it is out of our control, so we trust him. Sometimes the hard part is trusting him here and now. But he is trustworthy. He's got it all covered. And that is a peace that passes all understanding. So, my friends, life is much too short to worry. Let's not waste a lot of time doing that. Instead, let's seek God and seek his kingdom and trade our worries for trusting in our perfect Father who is in heaven. Amen? We're going to pray here in just a moment. I do want to take just a moment before that to remind you that each and every Sunday, we do have an offering plate at the back of the sanctuary. The only way that we have finances that support the ministries of our church is through the giving of its people. God invites us, challenges us, commands us to give, not just with financially, but with our time and our talent as well. So I invite you to respond to God's grace and goodness in your life and give to him this morning or some other time. If you're watching online, you can send it into the church. Well, even if you aren't watching online, you can still give online if you prefer to do it that way. A lot of you are. Or you can mail something into the church as well. After I pray, we're going to have a moment. David and his daughter are going to lead a song. Is it just the two of you on this one? Or just you? Okay, just David. It'll give you an opportunity to reflect upon the worries in your life. Maybe you start making that list even as David is singing. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness that runs after us. You are so faithful, so trustworthy. So God, help us not only to believe it intellectually, but to believe it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to trust in you. God, we just want to give over to you those things that we worry about, the things where we aren't trusting you very well. So we lay them before you, Lord. We maybe write them down on this list, whatever, God. You know what they are. And so, Lord, help us to trust in you more. We pray, God, also that you would take this financial offering that we give this morning or whenever we have given, Lord. And we pray, God, that it would be a step of trust right there, that we're not going to worry about our finances. We're going to give to you generously as you have given to us, so that your church here at Rose Hill would flourish. And we just pray, God, you use all of it, the tithe, as well as our time and our talent, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of it, Lord, use it for your glory, for the furthering of your kingdom. Because that's what we want to be about, Lord. We want to be about you and about your kingdom here and now and for eternity. We trust you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.